Blog Talk Radio.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Well, Pastor got to say it. Pastor's got to say it. The Bible is right. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank God for it. Well, precious ones, we're in Proverbs 20:21. That is Proverbs, the 20th chapter, the 21st verse. And it says in the King James Bible, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Amen. Then when I went to the Positive Thinking Bible to get a better understanding of what was being said here. And it says, getting rich quick may turn out to be a curse. And getting rich quick may turn out to be a curse. First thing that came to my mind when I thought on these verses was, getting rich quick can turn out to be a curse. There was a gentleman out west in Texas, and he won the lottery for something like $270 million. At that time, it was the largest lottery winning in the whole country. No one had ever won more than he did. And in the beginning, it seemed like to be a real blessing. But this verse says it may turn out to be a curse. So he had all of this money, and he began to do foolish things, losing the money. And then one thing he did, well, for instance, he would carry around $5,000 in one of his boots, because in Texas they wear these big cowboy boots, some of them. So he would walk around with $5,000 in his boot. He left $100,000 in a brief in the back of his truck, in the back seat of his truck. Somebody came and stole that, the whole $100,000. But then he made a serious mistake. He wanted to bless his daughter. He wanted to give his daughter anything and everything that she would want. And finally, his dream had come true. He won the lottery. So he gave his daughter a large amount of money in the hundreds of thousands, gave his daughter big money. Now, she had never had this kind of money before. And so being in high school and fooling around with drugs, you know, a little drug, she wasn't no drug addict or nothing, but, you know, just every once in a while, they go out to a party and someone say, well, try this and try that, so they would do it. Well, when she came into all of this money, she went directly to the dope dealer and asked for a kilo of cocaine. Now, he sold her the kilo of cocaine, cocaine. But she didn't really understand what she had. She did not understand that she had pure cocaine. She had bought pure cocaine. Not knowing anything, she thought that the cocaine that she had at her little parties, and she didn't know that that was cut about hundreds of times. Both of them was white powder, so she thought they were the same. Make a long story short, she overdosed on the cocaine. Because taking pure cocaine up your nose is a whole lot different than taking cocaine that's been cut hundreds of times. So the parents grieved because they lost their daughter. And then other calamities started to happen to the family. And finally, his wife told him, I wish that we had never won that money. And this verse says in the Positive Thinking Bible, getting rich quick may turn out to be a curse. His wife was in effect saying, this turned out to be a curse. In the beginning, it seemed like it was a real blessing. But our marriage went to pieces. You're a drunk now. You're getting robbed all the time. Our child is dead. The family's all corrupted and messed up. His wife said, I wish we had never won the lottery. I wish we'd never experienced that money. Amen? And then we see the same thing essentially in the scriptures with the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal got his share of the inheritance hastily. But he lost it just as quickly. And he ended up in the pig pen. Amen? Glory to God. This same proverb can mean, or you can relate it to any get-rich-quick scheme where it may seem like a blessing in the beginning. Oh, I'm going to make all of this money, this scheme or whatever this thing is. Oh, we're going to get into it, and we're going to make all of this money. Isn't this wonderful? But then you find out that it wasn't the wonderful money blessing that you thought it was going to be. And even in some cases, it turns out to be a curse. Amen? Many a person, you know, when you think about the prodigal son and the lesson of the prodigal son, everyone wants money, but not everyone can handle it. And if you're not ready for a thing and you receive it, it could kill you. If you're not ready for something and you receive it, it could destroy you. Amen? So one of the things I so love about God, with him, he prepares you, and then he promotes you. Amen? A good picture of that is Joseph. He prepared Joseph first before he made him prime minister. He humbled him first so he could see certain things. He could see Egyptian society. Joseph saw Egyptian society from the bottom up all the way. And don't you know when he became prime minister, you know that Potiphar, his first master, when he got to Egypt, Potiphar was the captain of the guard. He was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. So don't you know when Joseph became prime minister that he would see Potiphar at court probably every day? Now, only at official functions he might see Potiphar's wife, but he probably saw. And see, if he hadn't have been trained right, he would have taken vengeance out on Potiphar or Potiphar's wife and other people too. Amen? Glory to God. But God trained him first and then gave him the wisdom. Why? You can want something. You know, I'm convinced that that's one of the reasons folks don't get their prayer requests right away. You notice I didn't say you wouldn't get it. Amen? I said you might not get it right away. You might not get it for a while. God may hold it back from you for a while to protect you. Why? Because you're not ready for it. There was things that I wanted in my life. And when I look back on it, when God finally gave it to me, and I look back on it, I'm so thankful, because if God had given it to me when I asked for it in the beginning, I was nowhere near. Looking back on it now, the wisdom that's required, looking back on it now, I would have made a shipwreck. Oh my goodness, it would have been a pure D mess. Amen? But God in his wisdom protects his kids by not denying them, but telling them to wait. I can think of a story comes to me right now. I'm not going to tell the story, but the gist of the lesson of the story was, had this couple waited like God said, it would have been a tremendous blessing. But God told them to wait, and they didn't wait. They wanted it right then. And what a tragic ending. I don't even want to tell you, depression. I don't want to depress you. Amen? Glory to God. Just take my word for it. It was a they did not wait. God told them to wait. They asked for God. They sought his counsel. And when you seek someone's counsel, you know, if you seek God's counsel, it's assumed that you're going to heed it when he gives it to you. Well, he gave it to them. He told them specifically, wait. Why did he tell them to wait? Because he didn't want them to have it? Because he was trying to kill their joy? No, he knew. And it turned out that this proved to be the exact reason. He knew that the young lady was not ready. He knew it. And so he told them to wait. And it was the young lady that brought the whole thing to a tragic end. If only they had waited. And I know both of them. So I know that had they waited, they would have been a power couple. They would have been wonderful. Ooh, they would have been But they just, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Sometimes parents give their children things, and they give them that car and the child, or that airplane, and, I've got an airplane, or I've got a car, or I've got this and that. And they go out, and they hurt themselves. Amen. That's why you have to, if you should have some money, some real money, and you decide, I'm going to bless Pastor Williams, or I'm going to bless Sister Johnson, or I'm going to help this couple out. I'm going to give them $100,000. I'm going to give them $1 million. You better wait. You better wait, because that person that you're going to give that $1 million to, they may not be able to handle that kind of money. And you could accidentally end up doing them such serious damage. In fact, they may, because things mess up, I've seen so many people, when things go wrong, instead of them taking the responsibility, they blame it on God. God, I know you didn't do it, but you could have prevented it. And so I blame you, because you could have prevented it. You knew this was going to happen. So why did you let it happen, God? And people get offended. Amen. And so particularly money is a power. Amen. Money is a power. People really lose it when they get a little bit of money. Sometimes some people lose it. The people that God prepares, what is Romans 10:22 say? It says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So when people give you great wealth, it can destroy you. But the Bible says that when God determines that it's your time for great wealth, that he addeth no sorrow with it. You're ready, you can handle it, and it turns out to be a blessing. But, if you just give somebody stuff, if you just give that 14-year-old boy because he asked for it and whines for it, and you give him that 14-gauge shotgun, the 16-gauge shotgun, friend, you better ask God about it before you do these things, amen? Because everybody wants to be blessed. Everyone wants a blessing. But can they handle a real blessing? Amen. I ain't talking about $5 or $10, amen? Glory to God. I'm talking about serious stuff. You better ask God before you do it. Amen. Hold on. I'm up against a commercial. Hold on just a minute. I'll be right back.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
There's something else I want to say about inheritances. Inheritances, that's the subject tonight. Another thing I want to say about inheritances, I've noticed in my family and in other families, when the kids were given a large inheritance, I'm not talking about $50 or $100. Most kids can handle that. They're going to go out and blow that on something, food, some jewelry, something. I'm talking about large inheritance, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. I've noticed that when that kind of money was given to kids, they went out and absolutely blew it. They didn't go on drugs or anything like that. That's not what I'm implying. They simply spent it all up, wasted it all up. In a few months, it was all gone. So what does that teach us? That teaches us that in the area of inheritance, if you're going to leave, if you've got quite a bit and you're going to leave your child an inheritance, the wise thing to do is to, knowing human nature, start them off before you go on the glory. Start them off with something small. Give them $5,000 the first time, knowing that they're going to spend it all up and blow it. But that's what you want them to do. You want them to make their mistakes on the little money. Don't wait till you go on the glory and give them the whole $12 million or $80 million, like that famous singer gave her daughter $80 million. She didn't know what to do with it, and she went out and died, drowned in the bathtub. Well, bad things happen. Amen? Don't do that. Don't leave them that big money. What you do is, if you want them to really be blessed, let them learn. So you give them $5,000, knowing that they're going to go out and blow it, spend it all up. And they're going to see it. Oh, I blew the first $5,000. So then the next time, after a good period of time, you give them $10,000. Oh, and they go and they blow that. They go and they blow that. It's about the third time that it starts dawning on them. You know, when I get money, I throw it away. I blow it. Maybe I should think about saving it. Maybe I should consult somebody wiser than I am and find out what to do with the money. You have to train people. You can't. Money is a power. Money is a power. Money can cause people, you know, they say that whatever is in you, it comes out stronger when you get money, when you get independent. There's some people I know, they have two personalities. They have one personality when they don't have any money. They're very humble. But then they have an entirely different habit when they got money. They get arrogant. They get bossy. They get haughty. They get impatient. They get ridiculous. Amen? So knowing human nature, even if the person is not wise, you're going to have to be wise. So you train them. Give them a little bit of money, but don't expect them the first time you give it to them to go out and seek investment advice and invest the money wisely. They're children. They don't know. Expect them to blow the first amount. But that's why you give them a little amount. You give them a tiny bit and let them blow that. Let them blow it. Why? It's worth it. They're learning. It's worth it. They're learning. It's not a waste. I don't want to waste $5,000. Listen, It's better you let them waste the 5,000 and then become wise when you give them the 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000 than to give them the 300,000 or 400,000. They blow that, and then there's no more to give them. So now they regret the rest of their life. I wish I'd have handled the money wiser. No, you should have been wiser. You should know a little bit about human nature. Give them a little bit of money to blow for. I ain't going to even give them 5,000. Okay, we'll give them 3,000 then. Give them 2,000. Give them something, but let them go blow it. And when they come tell you I blew it, fine, okay. And then they wonder, well, why are you? No, that's all right, you know. And then a year later, give them another 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. Let them go blow that. It's going to take them 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 times before they get the idea not to blow the money. It's going to be 3,000 or 4,000 times that you're going to remind them, when you got all that money, did you give any of it into the kingdom of God? Oh, no, mommy. Oh, no, daddy. I spent it all. I got new jewelry. I got car. I got a down payment on a car. I went out and I bought this and I bought that and I spent it. Oh, you forgot God? And then they may play you off, but when they go by themselves, if they've been brought up, they're going to wonder, oh, my goodness, I forgot about the Lord. I forgot about the Lord. I forgot about his word. You see, it's going to take 3,000 or 4,000 times before they realize how to handle money, okay? But you have to be wise enough to know how to give it to them. Because an inheritance, you may give an inheritance hastily to them, but the end may not be blessed. If you don't use wisdom, their kids, they may not use wisdom, but you're an adult. You can use wisdom. And so you use wisdom. You introduce them to things first. When you was teaching them to swim, did you just take them down to the pool and throw them in the deep end? No. You took them, you stood up on the side of the pool first. You showed them the deep end, and then you showed them the shallow end. And then you had them stand up at the shallow end, and you show them the hand motion. And then you got down with them in the water in the shallow end. And then you showed them, when you're teaching someone to swim, you show them how fun it is down in the shallow end. You get them used to just having water around them, just having water around them. Some people never been in a pool before. And so then once they get used to the water, then you show them how to float. You don't try to teach them how to crawl and do the side stroke and all these advanced strokes first. You do the basic stuff first. You train them. You get them acclimated to it. And then after they get acclimated, then you say, let's try the backstroke. Now, you already know how to float. I'm right here with you. I got you. Turn over on your back, and they're floating. Plus, you're right there with them, and they start thinking, "Oh man, I'm swimming. I'm doing the backstroke." They don't know you right there. Amen. But after a while, because I only got 6 minutes to go, after a while they get used to the water. They get used to you. They get used to splashing, and then you can begin to teach them one different stroke after the next stroke, until pretty soon they can manage it. Amen. And then they can manage it. And then after that, if they've had fun at it, they'll come and do it because it's fun to them. Amen. If you throw them in the deep end and let them drown, half drown, it won't be fun to them. They'll never come back. You don't want to do that. You don't want to traumatize somebody. You want to make it fun so that they'll want to do it. Because if they want to do it, then they'll come back and they'll do it the right way. Amen. And that's what you want them to do. You want them to be familiar with it. You want them to enjoy it. You want them to see the blessing that God has given them. You want to see how to use it correctly. You want to teach them how to bless God and his work and his kingdom with it. And then enjoy and then give it give a little to someone else. Amen. That's less fortunate. And then go out and enjoy it, glory to God. Really enjoy it, not just throw it away. Amen. Now, see, that is wisdom, and that will be a blessing. Amen. That will be a blessing. The prodigal son, he went out thinking that he knew all about it. He thought he knew about it. But then he discovered something. He was going to leave and show his parents and his older brother that how to really live. He was going to go to a far country and show them how to really live it up. And come to find out, lo and behold, he didn't know how to live. He didn't know what he was doing. Amen? But it was too late. He found himself in the pig pen with no money. Understanding now, I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. Had nothing but regrets, because that's the way he framed it when he said he was going to talk to his father. Amen? A picture of our Heavenly Father. He said, oh, man, I have such regrets. I'm not even worthy to be my father's son anymore. I'll go to my father and tell him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Amen? But he wasn't his father's son because he was worthy. He was his father's son because of sonship. Amen? Glory to God. And so he was able to enter in because of sonship, not because he was worthy. Amen? He was able to obtain salvation because of the wisdom of the dead. You know, when you read that story, people just assume when it says, he said, I shall return to my father. You know, it's a real blessing that he had a father to return to. Did people take it for granted that mom and dad are going to always be there? They're going to always be there for them. They're going to receive them with open arms. Everything is going to be just like before. Amen? Glory to God. And everything may not be just like it was before. Amen? So you have to use wisdom. Amen? You have to use great wisdom, glory to God, when you're dealing with inheritances. And we have an inheritance. Amen? Our Heavenly Father loved us so much, glory to God. Look at 1 Peter. I've got 3 minutes. Turn to 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Glory to God. I didn't have it. I got to go there myself. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. You have, beloved, your Heavenly Father loved you, and he gave you an inheritance. You might say, well, I don't have no inheritance. My parents aren't rich. Amen? That's right. Your earthly parents may not be rich, but your Heavenly Father is rich, and he's left you an inheritance. And here it is in the fourth verse. He's left you an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Amen? God has given you an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for you. And what is your inheritance? Thessalonians 4:16, it says that at the rapture, that we'll be caught up with the Lord, and we will forever be with the Lord Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. And we inherit. Psalm 16:11 says, we inherit fullness of joy. It says that in his presence is fullness and joy, fullness of joy. So our inheritance, we inherit the presence of God Almighty. We inherit God forever. We inherit his presence. We're with him forever. And it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And then in Psalm 17:15, it says, I will be satisfied when I awake with thy presence. Amen. When I awake. Let's look at Psalm 17:15 real quick. 17:15. I think I got about 7:30 seconds. 17:15. If I can get there in time. It says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. Your inheritance is that you'll forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you awake, you're going to be like him. You're going to have your glorified body. And the promise is eternal life. You're going to be internally with the Lord Jesus. God bless you tonight. The Bible has the answers. See you next week. I love you. You have an inheritance. Bye-bye now.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.